Happy New Year. I got to tell you, I am super excited for 2023. I am pumped. A couple reasons. Number one, this year's kind of special. We get to start this year together. And you know what December 31st is of this year? Sunday. 53 Sundays together. We get a bonus Sunday this year. I know, everyone's like, yes! Yeah, woo! Oh, not everyone's excited. Now, here's why I'm really excited. 2023, we're going to do something new, something amazing. And I honestly believe in my heart, because it has been a blessing to me, that it will be a blessing to you. We are going to walk with Jesus through the Gospels in a way that you may not have before in your lives. I haven't taught it this way, so you haven't caught it here. Maybe you caught it somewhere else, but I'm thinking you probably haven't. And so I am super excited about it, and we are going to carry through the Gospels with Jesus. And I hope, really, what I hope that this will do, number one, it's going to help us, because if you've ever struggled or tried to explain something and someone came back with, well, what about when it says this here in Matthew's gospel and it says this over here in Luke's gospel and they don't do this, your faith just must not be real. We're going to answer that question. We're going to answer a lot of those questions. And so I'm really excited about it. And it's going to help us walk with Jesus even closer. And that is what I want for my life. That's what I want for your life. And I hope that's what you want, is to be closer to Jesus. You're going to spend eternity with him. And so it's a good opportunity to get to know him better. Right? It needs to be a reunion, not a first introduction when he shows up. Exactly. Exactly. All right, so let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word today. Our Father in heaven, we love you so very much, and we thank you for allowing us to come together to start the year. Father, we are here to give you our spiritual sacrifice. We sing songs of praise. We remember the sacrifice of what Jesus has given on our behalf and for our sins. And as we recall his broken body and his spilt blood on Calvary, we are sorry. We are grateful. We are redeemed. Blessed be your name. Father, as we take a look at your scriptures today, we do so for this reason. Not to increase our minds, not to make us smarter. We just want to know you better. So I pray that you open our eyes. I pray that you help us see more clearly, so that we will know who we are connected to, so that we will know what it is you have made us to be. Fill us with your Spirit, Father. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, one of the funny things about being a Christian is you may fall into the same trap that I do from time to time, is that you are trying to live your life and you're trying to love Jesus, and other people just frustrate you, don't they? They just do what they do. And it's an interesting thing that I've come to discover, is that we get it backwards. We get it backwards in that we're supposed to look to Jesus and love others. We look to Jesus because he is the form of God that we can see and understand and comprehend. And then we're supposed to love other people. And we spend so much of our energy saying, I love God! And we're focusing on other people. It's backwards. Set your eyes on Jesus fully. Set your eyes on Jesus fully. And when others are hard to love, love them anyway. Love them anyway. That's what we're called to do. You know, one of the things, we start the new year, and And I'm going to talk a little bit about New Year's and what usually comes to mind when we start the new year, because we get things a little bit backwards. New Year's resolutions have become a joke, haven't they? I mean, it's no longer, hey, what are you trying to make better in the new year in 2023? What do you want your life to look like a year from now? Now it's just become, okay, what are you going to pretend like you're going to do and then forget about in 3 days? I mean, that's what they've become. That's what New Year's resolutions are. They're a joke. Like, we'll get back to work tomorrow or the day after, and they're like, hey, what did you try to do for 24 hours? Or how are you trying to be better this week? Oh, nope, already blew it. It's over. We'll try again next year. And so they've become a joke. But church, here's an amazing thing, and it's important for us to look at this at New Year's, is because as followers of Jesus, we don't have to rely upon resolutions. And the reason why resolutions, New Year's or otherwise, the reason why they fail is they have no power behind them. The power behind a New Year's resolution is me. The power behind your New Year's resolution or your personal goals or anything like that is you. And you and I both know very well that we are powerless. We are powerless. We can't affect change. We can't be good 2 days in a row. And that's the problem. Now, the amazing thing is, and what we're going to see today, is that we don't have to rely upon New Year's resolutions or any decision to make ourselves better or to be a nicer person or to walk with more grace or to not get so angry or to be a better parent or to love people. It just all these things that we would decide. Church, our goal as Christians just needs to be to see Jesus more clearly and follow in His steps. Because the power behind that is the grace that is flowing out of the throne of God on an eternal basis. And that changes everything. That's something that I can accomplish when I get on board with what God is doing. So let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. We're going to start here this morning. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul knew this pretty well. And so he's going to give us some words of wisdom. Because we are going to see that the spiritual journey has one amazing thing that allows us to keep going. And that is the grace to start again. The grace to start again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. Philippians 3, 7 says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." All right, now, if you cannot say those words, it is time for you to get better acquainted with Jesus. The Apostle Paul just said, everything that I have in my life is rubbish, trash, nothing compared to how big it is to know and to love and to be loved by and to walk with Jesus Christ. Nothing else compares. Nothing else compares. And if that's not your walk, it's time to open your eyes. It's time to take a better look. It's time to take a better look, because in no case and in no instance has Jesus ever been found lacking. He is enough and He is everything. The only thing that is different between me and you and your neighbor and the heathen across the street is how well we see His glory. His glory is not dim. His glory is bright. And the difference between all of us is how well we see it. "For His sake I have suffered the loss for all things, and I count them as rubbish," in verse 8, "in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ." The righteousness from God that depends on faith, "that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Well, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. All right, so Paul says knowing Jesus is worth more than anything else. It is worth more than anything else. And just like the Apostle Paul, we are not complete. We are not done until Jesus returns. Jesus is still working on us. We are works in progress. This journey that we are on, we began our journey by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We turned from our old lives and we got in step with Jesus. And again, that did not make us perfect. It didn't make us complete. It didn't mean that all of our problems would magically go away. None of us were transported to heaven, never to worry about earthly or fleshly things again. No, we began our walk and our lives in faith. And now we are following in the example of Jesus, and we are trying, like Paul, to figure out the power of the resurrection from the dead. The same power that God used to bring Jesus back from the tomb, he has now placed within our lives to guide our steps, to direct our hearts, and to give us a mind that thinks and sees as he does. And so we spend our days trying to figure that out. What does it look like? What does it mean? Well, the only thing, well, not the only thing, but one of the things I can tell you, it's probably bigger than what you've been using. It's probably more than what you give it credit for. Because we make things small, don't we? We make things small. Small makes us comfortable. Now, before you go, what? We don't like small. Yes, we do. We like our world small. Once we get into a comfortable routine and habit, we like things to go exactly the way we're used to. We want certain people to act certain ways. When they act different or they look different, we want work to go a certain way. And when they throw a new responsibility at us, they say, hey, we're doing things different. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? I don't like this. It's different. No, we like things very, very small. And that's one thing that God will not be. Is small. God will not be small. So we just got to let him be big. We got to let him be big. We got to let him be who he is. Church, because when we don't let him be who he is, then he becomes something less that we have created, and that is not God. That's a false God. That's an idol. That's an idol. You have to start getting comfortable with the fact that God is so big. He takes a lifetime of trying to get close to, wrap your mind around, grasping for, and just going, where is he? What's he doing? How's he handling this situation? Because I want to handle it faithfully. I want to be faithful. I want to be like him, but I can't get a handle on it. So Paul says, and we echo, I want to know Jesus so much. I want to know that power of the resurrection from the dead. That will fuel my faith to endure anything because I know, I am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God created us and that God redeemed us, that God saved us, and that God has overcome death. Nobody else has that. Nobody else offers that. No one else even knows what to do with that. And so, as we spend this time with Jesus, as we are knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, the more time we spend with him, it is inevitable that we become like him. Right? You ever see those pictures where people find humans and dogs that start to look like each other? Yeah. You're like, no, they really do. What is that? That's because, you know, the human found a dog and they recognize themselves in the dog's face. Like, that's the dog I need. It looks like me. Or you'll notice an old married couple. And when I say old, I'm including myself in that as well. And you start to finish each other's sentences. Remember when it was cute in the early years? Right? Yeah, it was so cute. Oh, you and I, we're just simpatico. We just think alike. We act alike. And then you get old and grumpy and you really are alike. Like, we're both set in our ways. Yeah, that's right. Everybody drives me crazy but you. You're still amazing. Yeah, the more time you spend with someone, the more you look like them. And so if you spend your time with good people, guess what? You're going to start to look like good people. And you spend your time with bad people, what happens? You start to look like bad people, don't you? Yeah, the Bible tells us. Bad company corrupts good morals. If you think you're making good decisions, but you got bad friends, you're going to end up looking like your bad friends. So if we spend time with Jesus, it is only natural that we start to look like Jesus. So let's spend time with Jesus. And Paul says, I have to do two things. To become spiritually mature, I'm going to do two things. In verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting and straining forward. Now, this is the difference between resolution and the Christian walk, right? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward towards the future. Forget what happened yesterday. You make a New Year's resolution and you say, all right, this year, this is going to be the year. I'm going to exercise. Yeah, right. No, really, this is the year. And we look at ourselves or other people look at us and go, look, What possibly makes you think that this year is going to be different, that you're actually going to do something different? No, this is the year I'm going to get my finances in order. I'm tired of living paycheck to paycheck and I'm going to put some things right. I'm going to budget or I'm going to save or I'm going to whatever. I'm going to get that thing that we need, whatever it is. Money goals, health goals, relationship goals. We have the same goals every single year. But what it takes to follow Jesus and what makes us different is that I forget my failures of the past. And church, you cannot be a faithful Christian if you're still dwelling on the sins of the past. You can't. Because one of two things. Either God has forgiven your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, or He hasn't. And if He has forgiven your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, they are gone. They are gone. Now, I know there's a couple of us in the room that are like, well, Michael, some things that we do in our lives, they just have massive repercussions if they continue to follow us on. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. There are some sins that you do that the consequences may carry with you. But as far as God is concerned, your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. So leave them in the past. I forget what lies behind. Hey, guess what? Same thing goes for your accomplishments. Same thing goes for your accomplishments. You cannot serve Jesus Christ the way you were made to today in the here and now if you are still standing on the trophies of yesteryear. Because in the end, all they were participation trophies. You were privileged to be included on the river of grace that flows from God. You haven't done anything. So throw your participation trophies right where they belong, in the past. Strain forward. You got to let go of the bad. You got to quit standing on the good, and you got to strain forward. That's how you walk with Jesus. That's how you walk with Jesus. Now, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen? You're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. But that's the amazing thing about walking with Jesus, is He knows you're going to mess up. He's made plans to deal with your messing up. I mean, how many of us, we say, oh, you know, I tried that one year to be more spiritually mature. Didn't go so well. Or I tried to walk with Jesus. I tried to live my life closer to Him. I tried to give Him my thoughts. And when I made that decision to give Jesus my thoughts, because I've been struggling with a darkness. I've been struggling with whether it's a depression or oppression. I've been struggling with these thoughts. And I said, okay, well, you know what? I'm just gonna trust, and I'm gonna say, Lord, give me a clear mind. Give me a healthy mind. And I went 5 minutes later. Boom, there's the enemy. Just giving me oppressive thoughts again. Okay, I guess God can't handle that. You need to go back to Luke chapter 4. I believe the enemy came to Jesus in his hunger and his weakness how many times? You and I fall apart after one. Oh, that didn't work. The enemy came in and beat me up. Really? Maybe God wants you to be strong enough to trust Him through the trials that the enemy is throwing to you. Maybe you are not getting to the place to where you are supposed to be because temptation number one, you just went, oh, I give. That's it. I lost. We got to stop doing that. We got to stop doing that. Whatever the enemy throws in our path, whatever the enemy hits us with, you and I have got to push through that and say, I am going to trust God through this. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm not going to ditch my faith. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be tough to kill. And I'm going to move forward. You ever think about yourself as being tough to kill? You should. You should, because the enemy's trying to destroy your soul. You should take that personally. And you should be tough to kill. I'm tough to kill. I am. It's painful, yeah. There's some scars, but tough to kill. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Maybe this will help us be a little tougher to kill. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Huh. That's like Kevin. Not hard words, but boy, there's a lot in there, right? Yeah, there's a lot in there. We are new creatures in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ, but you got to be hard to kill. You got to be hard to kill because we will stumble. All of us, we stumble. We mess up. We trip over ourselves. We trip over temptation. We mess it up. We get it wrong. But we have to stop looking at the life of Christ as just a New Year's resolution. Because a New Year's resolution, we fall and we go, oh, I guess we'll try again next year. That didn't work. No. When we are followers of Christ, we trust and hope on His promises, His Word, His Holy Spirit. We are empowered by something a little bit more than willpower. Will is in here. I got a will. You got a will. I make a decision to do certain things. But instead, we are a new creation. We regard no one according to the flesh. And we're going to keep on going. You know, one of the difficult things about following Jesus is other people, right? And sometimes, you know how when you do something right or you're turning your life around in a new area and maybe you decide, you know what, I do need to be more faithful in this aspect of my life. And so you say to those who know you, like 5 minutes ago, you say, you know what, I'm not doing that anymore. Or I'm not going to partake of that anymore. That I've decided that's not the best for me and I want what is best for me. So I'm going to leave that right here. And people around you react how? How do people like your change? They don't, do they? No. You can't change. Because if you change, well then I gotta take a hard look at myself, right? No, you don't. No, you don't. I've decided that I need to change here. So I'm going to do something different. Or I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm a new creature. I am new in Jesus Christ. I am being renewed day by day. And so I got to let some things go. I got to let some things go. If that makes you uncomfortable, well, all I can say is I'm being a successful ambassador for Christ. I'm doing my job. I'm doing my job. But God has reconciled us to himself through Christ. He has fixed what was broken in the garden. That's new creation. He made creation, and then creation fell, and then he gave us his Son to make us new creation, to restore us back to what he had planned from the very beginning. Restored relationships. We saw in our study, in Bible study this morning, Genesis 1 through 3, and just the feeble attempts that Adam and Eve made after they had sinned. Because when they ate from the fruit, they looked at each other and went, huh, we are naked. And that's a shameful thing. And so they sewed fig leaves together and they made makeshift little outfits. And then God said, where are you? And they said, well, we were hiding from you because we were naked. I love God's response. Who told you were naked? That's his first words out of his mouth. Who told you were naked? You ate of that tree, didn't you? You ate of that tree. I mean, that's what we do. We mess up and we try in our own feeble ways. Let's sew the fig leaves together. Maybe God won't notice. We mess up. We do something wrong and we're like, oh, well, let's cover it up. Let's hide it. Let's lie to God because, you know, he's rustling around the garden. He'll never know. That's how we live our lives. No. Adam and Eve needed to come out and say, we did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We messed up. You gave us one thing. One thing not to do. We did it. And that's not what happens, is it? She? Oh, she? Yeah, it was her. It was her. You gave her to me, and she led me astray. So, really, God, when you think about it, my sins are your fault. I mean, that's what Adam does. That's what he does. You made her. I didn't make her this way. So Adam blames God for his own shortcomings. And in a roundabout way, listen to yourself, because I bet you come pretty close to as well. Don't do that. Don't blame God. Just say, Lord, I did. I messed up. I didn't want to. I did. Bring it right to him and say, I messed up. I give it to you. Please, please wash me anew. Give me another shot. And guess what happens? He does. He does. His grace reaches all of us. We are new creatures. And so we move forward. And so our message is that God has remade the creation story and he is moving things forward to a glorious, glorious conclusion. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 57. Luke chapter 9, 57. Jesus himself described what it looks like to follow him. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said, well, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another he said, follow me. But he said, well, Lord, let me go first bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. As for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, well, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say goodbye to those at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one. Jesus was so careful. How many times did he tell people when they said, hey, we want to be with you. We want to follow you. And he would just say, nah, you can't. Wait, what? I can too. He was genius, wasn't he? Because what do? The first time we're told we can't do something, we want it even more, don't we? Yeah, so Jesus said, no, you don't need to follow me. I'm pretty amazed at this healing and what you've done for my life. I want to be with you. No. You don't need to be with me. You just go. How about the times in the Gospels where Jesus would tell people, very, very quiet. Don't tell anyone what happened to you. Oh, okay. Well, they're going to kind of notice that I'm walking, holding my mat and not laying on the mat. I don't know. But don't tell anybody, right? Don't tell anybody. I love the guy that got healed, and the religious guys went to his parents and said, "Hey, this is your kid. What do you say about him?" "Well, he looks like our kid, but beyond that, we don't know how he got to where he was." Right? Yeah. God works amazing things, and he empowers us to be successful in following him. And so Jesus says in this, look, if you start the journey with me, if you start walking after me, you can't start looking back and saying, "Yeah, but what about that?" Or you remember our old life where we got to do that? Oh, you remember when we just could just sleep in on Sundays and not go to church? Oh, you remember when we could just do whatever we wanted and no one cared, no one was watching or paying attention? Jesus said, look, you're not worthy of my kingdom if you're going to put your hands to it and see how good it is and how impressive it is and then go, "Yeah, I found something better." Huh. Jesus said, okay, you found something better? You can have it. You can have it. Church, we have joined the Lord's eternal work, so we don't get to go back to old fruitless ways that were not beneficial. Don't become enamored by thinking that your life outside of Jesus was somehow better. It wasn't. It wasn't. I mean, what? You ever talk to a Christian that just laments the fact that they're not free to sin? Right? Yeah, I remember the good old days where I could just sin all I wanted. Nobody cared. Well, you didn't care. Somebody cared. Right? You remember my old life when I was just in darkness and I didn't know which way was up and I had no idea? Yeah, those were the days. Were they though? Those were the days, like the good days? Kevin read for us in Romans this morning, and that's where we'll wrap it up in Romans chapter 6. Because the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, when you were not a Christian, you were not held to God's, what's the word? I just lost it. Maybe I didn't have it. The word. Thank you. That was it. That was the word. He said, look, when you were not Christians, God wasn't holding you to his standard. God wasn't saying, oh, I expect all of you people that don't know me to look just like all the people that do know me. No. Huh. You weren't being held to that standard, but your life was a mess. Your life was a mess. Show of hands, whose life is better because they're in Jesus Christ? Hello? I mean, that's it. Yes, when you were free from all the things that God wanted from your life, you weren't getting anything good. You were in darkness. And Paul says there in Luke chapter 6, he goes, the reason why it's so important to share the good news with people is that the only payday that sin affords is death. All sin leads to death. That's all it has to offer. That's it. Satan can dress it up. He can make it sound pretty. He can make it look beautiful. He can make it very tasty. But in the end, all he has to give is death. And so Paul says, hey, whoa. Remember when you follow God, everything you gain is life. Life. And so he says it better than I can. Help me find the verse. Call it out if you find it. Yep, there it is. 21. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So look, if you're sitting here this morning and you are not a Christian, I need to tell you that the only thing that you are headed for is death. Because that's all sin has to offer. That's it. That's it. But if you are in Christ Jesus, then what you are receiving right now in your walk with Jesus is sanctification. That is, God is making you more and more holy. God is just getting you ready to be worthy, and so you'll fit in to eternity with Him. You want to fit in, right? Yeah, you do. I mean, in that place, you do. You want to fit in heaven. You don't want to be the one that gets to heaven and going, yeah, I don't know. Right? I mean, how many funerals have you heard, or lessons you've heard preach, or even people just talking about, boy, they better have ice cream in heaven. Right? Yeah, there better be hunting in heaven. There better just be lush fairways and golf in heaven, otherwise I'd kind of question the creator of all things. Well, that's what we do. We won't say it out loud. I'm a fool for your sake, so I'll say it out loud. But we do. We say, well, heaven better have this. Huh. How about you just trust God that whatever heaven has to give you, it's going to be good. Yeah, it's going to be good. But I'll echo this. Whatever the absence of heaven has to offer, it's not going to be good. It's not. Heaven's going to be amazing because that's where God is. And God is good. And hell is not going to be so good because God's not there. God's not there. So, as you live your life with Jesus as an ambassador for Christ, do not fall into the trap of making New Year's resolutions. Just grow in your walk with Jesus, because you're going to fall. You're going to stumble. And when we fall and stumble, we don't just go, oh, well, try that Christian thing. It doesn't work. No. Try that mercy thing. Run right back to His throne of grace and say, Lord, I need some more. Because you know me. I tried really hard. Didn't work out so well, but I want to try again. Please forgive me. And He says, blood of Christ, I got you covered. Let's go. Let's go. That's what we do. That's how we live. And in that, you and I are going to be changed. And in that, the world is going to look at us, and they're going to see the change, and it's going to afford us an opportunity to say, hey, let me tell you what I found. Because now I'm an ambassador for Jesus. I am God telling His story through my life so that you can see it, and I can share with you the good news. How fun is that? How fun is that? So, if you're not a Christian this morning and you need to respond, we invite you to do so. And as always, if you are a Christian this morning, I start to sound a little sales pitchy, don't I? With the invitation. $19.95 a month. No, I always give you the caveat. If you are a Christian this morning, the invitation to you is to act like it. Walk with Jesus. Walk with Jesus. And when you stumble, get back up, because it's not your weak will or strength that gets you forward. It is the power of God. And His power does not fail and will not run out. So let's do it.